WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Here on a Sunday morning, exactly where we want to be. Good morning, your host Wes Moss here every Sunday morning. Today, 9 until 10 o'clock, because we have Bulldog Brunch starting at 10. So only 1 hour to chat. And we have so much to talk about in this 1 hour. And of course, I'll take your phone calls and your questions. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. I know that we have had only 1 hour shows because of Georgia football. And we have a few more weekends of that, of course. So if you have not been able to get through and we have been able to take your calls and you have questions that are sitting, pressing in your family, and you'd like to at least just get a second opinion on it, maybe you're getting an offer from a company that's trying to buy you out or buy out a pension, and you're kind of weighing all those options, we're happy to kind of walk through that because it's such a complex problem. And I know that here in Atlanta, there's so many Fortune 500 companies that are constantly making offers to get people to retire earlier than they had thought they would retire. We're also going to talk about a topic today that has been brought up on Money Matters many times. I'm finally going to explain what Bitcoin is. What is Bitcoin? Why is it so popular? Why did what was only trading at $1,000 at the last December hit over $5,500 this week in an explosion in price? Wall Street has gone crazy over Bitcoin in the past few months. Just last week, Goldman Sachs reported they're considering, and they very likely will do this, a Bitcoin trading operation. Goldman Sachs. We're not talking about some new fly-by-night company that's getting into a, quote, fad. We're talking about Goldman Sachs. So the price of Bitcoin has skyrocketed so much. If you look at the chart of Bitcoin, it looks like it was on the cover, first of all, of every financial news homepage over the past week. But in order to do that, you've got to understand the technology behind it. And the technology called blockchain technology is shaping the future of our economy, much like the beginning of the internet. So if you go back into the 1970s when the internet was just a fraction of what it is today, a few computers linked across the country, that's where blockchain technology is today. And now we know what happened over the last 40, 50 years with the internet. And over the last 20 years, it's changed the way we live. The first technology to really compete with that, or at least from the possibility of how it could shape our future, has to do with blockchain technology, which is new. And I'm going to explain that today and Bitcoin today. I'm not banking my future on Bitcoin because I think it's surely a disaster waiting to happen just because of the price volatility. But I've had an account at Coinbase for some time now. And Coinbase is an app where you put in 10 bucks, 20 bucks, and just convert it to Bitcoin. And I did that about a year ago to see just what would happen with it. I wanted to be at least participate and understand this new currency. It's a cryptocurrency, virtual currency, call it what you want, but I needed to understand it. And I've been watching it, studying it for the last, let's call it over the past year or so, and finally understand it to the point and the technology to the point where we're going to talk about it today and I'm going to explain what the heck it is because we can't ignore it anymore. This is part of our life. It is something that is happening. And even though JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon, who I love, called it still the currency of drug dealers and murderers, and if somebody at his firm thought about trading Bitcoin, he'd fire them. And this guy is a guy we love. But at the same time, this is something that we need to understand. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're talking today the future of technology called blockchain, how that's shaping multiple industries over the next 10 and 20 years. And then, of course, its most famous son, Bitcoin, which is a byproduct or a technological currency advancement because of blockchain technology. So the number in the studio here, Ryan Ely joining me. Ryan, good morning. And he's ready to take your phone calls and questions and pass that through. And we'll talk here this on a Sunday morning. We love to do that. So if anything's been on your mind about an IRA or a 401k, or if you've been thinking about this currency, or your kids said, hey, mom, dad, you should own some Ethereum or Bitcoin, and you're crazy if you don't. If your kids have said that to you, or a millennial in your life has brought this up, this is the show that'll help you understand it, explain it. And of course, I'll answer your questions live if they come up. So give us a call here in the studio on this Sunday morning in the fall, even though it still feels like summer. 404-872-0750, the number in the studio again, 404-872-0750. Or if you're out of state, Texas, California, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Now, let's talk through this technology. So how does Bitcoin work is what we all want to know and understand. But in order to do that, we have to understand this blockchain technology. So talking about that is kind of like bringing up the internet in the 1980s. Well, what the heck is it? How does it work? What's it really going to do for my life? So Wall Street, again, is going crazy over this. Let's understand blockchain technology. Blockchain is, again, let's call it a new technology. It's not a currency. In fact, it has nothing really to do. It wasn't designed for currencies at all. It's its own it's a new kind of technological backbone. Think of, again, what the internet was in the 1970s, the very beginning stages, just a few computers linked together. But the technology of sending messages over data, that's what existed. Again, not widely used, but at least it had been created. Think of blockchain as the next potential internet. So we can't dismiss it. And just because we associate Bitcoin with blockchain, it doesn't mean that's why we're going to talk about this today. Just because Bitcoin is used by drug dealers on the Silk Road, it doesn't mean we can't understand and give Bitcoin a minute here. So first, let's talk about blockchain and what it could do potentially to financial intermediaries or just different industries. And again, remember, and I'm going to explain this as best I can about how this technology works. Blockchain is a distributed ledger technology. That it provides a way, it's a new way to record, record safely and transfer data safely that's transparent and auditable and supposedly resistant to outages and hacks and so forth. And it could replace the need for financial intermediaries. It's that secure. So instead of needing a bank to transact a monetary payment, blockchain allows people from peer-to-peer networks, just person-to-person, to have a trusted network and a trusted transaction, meaning that, hey, this money is real, it's not counterfeit, it's in my account, and it's going to go to you. And right now, we use a bank to facilitate that. Blockchain can eliminate the need for that bank. So think of the impact here. The same way the internet impacted media, big banks like Barclays are already using this to make their transactions more secure. So big banks are not going to just ignore blockchain. It's that big of a deal. By the end of this year, IBM says that 15% of all banks will be using some sort of blockchain technology by the end of this year. Cybersecurity, another area that's going to get impacted. Blockchain, the blockchain ledger, depending on what industry we're talking about here, is public. And the data is encrypted and then it's verified in a way using what's called this new term, cryptography. So the data is less prone to being hacked or changed without authorization. Again, this could eliminate middlemen like banks and payment centers and transfer companies. It could eliminate the background of the DMV. Well, the DMV exists to verify you are who you say you are, among other things. title companies. So blockchain can replace a lot of what these institutions do. Of course, it could impact supply chain management, the Internet of Things. The Internet of Things, remember, is just this technological interconnectedness of pretty much anything. Your refrigerator can have a semiconductor inside of it and talk to your Wi-Fi, and you can control the temperature of your refrigerator when you're in another state. That's the Internet of Things. It's hooking up everything in our life, appliances, how we move, all of this together into one central hub. That's the Internet of Things. And again, blockchain can make this all secure. Think about elections, gambling, insurance companies, all could be using blockchain technology over the next decade. Transportation, to think about when you're ready to park or pay a toll or get electricity for your electric car, blockchain technology could impact how we do this. Because again, it is a way of arranging a contract between people. So think about arranging a contract between your driver and a rider, just what Uber does to some extent, but using blockchain technology. So we're going to continue to talk about this and explain exactly how it works in a metaphor when Money Matters returns. Stay tuned. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
Back to Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
And good when my heart morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here at WSB Radio. I'm just talking with Ryan Ely here, trying to get a really quick, easy analogy for blockchain technology. It's part of our lives. It's going to continue to grow, so let's understand it. Here's another way to think of blockchain technology versus what we have today. And I'm going to use the example of whisper down the lane. Ryan calls it whisper down the line. I always have called it whisper down the lane, where you start with a word and there's 20 people in a line. And by the time the word gets whispered from person to person to person, at the end it gets changed. Right? So imagine you're the 20th person in this first, let's play whisper down the lane the old way. By the time the word gets to you, it becomes a mess. So it starts out person one, bologna sandwich, and then it continues to get morphed down the line until the 20th person, it gets to you, and now it's Barack Obama loves his sandwich. That's how data gets altered ever so slightly, time after time, and eventually becomes wrong. So bologna sandwich turns into Barack Obama loves his sandwich. That's the misdirection and slight mistakes over and over create a big problem. That's old technology. Now let's play whisper down the lane using blockchain. Imagine that every time you whispered to your next partner, each person from the very beginning had to get it right and then re-verified with all people before that. So it has to be perfectly right, passed from person to person every time in order for the next person to even take their turn. So bologna sandwich, as we start out, is said perfectly each and every time. And you cannot take your turn until it's re-verified with everybody else who started from the beginning. So the fifth person has to verify with 4, 3, 2, 1. The eighth person in whisper down the lane has to verify with 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So that by the time you get to the 20th person, bologna sandwich is still exactly the same terminology, bologna sandwich. And if there's any sort of mess up down that line or the chain of data gets tainted, then everybody knows about it. And we cannot continue on. That's blockchain technology. So to think about these, and we're going to talk about currency when we get back, every dollar, take a dollar bill out of your wallet right now. It has a serial number on it, every single dollar bill. But there's no record of it. It goes from person to person to person 1,000 times before a Federal Reserve will ever recheck that serial number. Imagine how easily that can get in the wrong hands or used in the wrong way. Blockchain technology in a virtual currency really eliminates so much of that. I'm going to explain that when we're back from break. You're listening to Money Matters with me, Wes Moss, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Wes Moss here every Sunday morning. Today we're talking about a topic that I've been asked about all year long. When are you going to talk about Bitcoin? When are you going to talk about Bitcoin? And we're doing it today. In a year where markets just continue to plow forward. So we've gone a year and a half, 18 months without a 5% dip in the market. The VIX, volatility index, an all-time low in the stock market, making the VIX short volatility, quote, the sure thing on Wall Street, which again, sure things always unravel and blow up. And that's probably what's going to happen. Just like .com did, just like house flipping in the 2000s, just like can't miss real estate. So there will be a time, of course, when this volatility goes back higher. You don't have 150 years of volatility and then all of a sudden it goes away. Especially not in the scary, scary world that we live in. And I'd say that the scary headlines are as unsettling as they've ever been. Congress can't stand each other. They're effectively at war back and forth with the president. The administration still has trouble getting anything done. We've got North Korea still back and forth, crazy one day, silent the next. So there's just an awful lot that continues to happen, and yet markets continue to plow forward. So at some point, there'll obviously be some sort of correction because that is the nature of the stock market. The Dow for the year, though, up over 15%. The S&P 500 at 14% for the year. The 10-year Treasury hovering around a little higher than 2.25%. That's the world that we live in today. Now, we've talked about what over the next, call it decade, will take shape in various industries, and that's a brand new technology called blockchain. It's as big as the internet in the very, very beginning, meaning that it has the potential to change and impact in all industries, just like the internet has changed all industries. It used to be, oh, we're just going to buy books on Amazon, and now Amazon's putting big retail companies out of business because it's a slightly better way to buy stuff. And that's the type of thing that the internet has done that you couldn't even foresee in the 70s and the 80s when it was still just this nascent little network where you could send a few word messages through email. And it has changed the entire way we live. Now we watch video on our phones because of the internet. So we technically can unplug and we don't even need a TV anymore because our TV is right here on our phone. In the beginning stage of the internet, it still hadn't even evolved in us. It hadn't even evolved enough for us to know the potential of what it could do. And that's a lot like what blockchain is or where blockchain is now today. So if you miss my analogy on this, first, in order to understand Bitcoin, we have to quickly understand blockchain technology. My analogy, I'll do it again quickly here. For those of you who are just tuning in, blockchain is just a new way to create an immutable ledger or a ledger with a history that can't be changed. So think about when you buy a house, you have every transaction is recorded, right? A title company or our municipal government keeps track. The house was sold, then it was inspected, then it was resold, then it had a addition put on it. So those plans had to get improved or approved. And then the homeowner 2 years later sold the house, and then there's a new buyer of record for the house. So imagine the ledger or the DNA of the history of a house. And the way it is today could be somebody could go hack in there and just change the price. Oh, it didn't sell for $550,000. It sold for $450,000. Or somebody could just make a mistake. That's the world that we live in today. There's not a lot of security around this example of a house ledger, which ultimately is very important. Blockchain technology could materially change how secure that ledger is. So instead of having something that can get a mistaken entry, and then that gets covered up because somebody just said, oh, well, there was a ding on the inspection. Well, let's go in and change that ding to saying, oh, we got a new chimney and everything was fine. Imagine how inaccurate that could become. Blockchain erases the potential for that. And here's how this is the way it would work. Think of blockchain in this way. Imagine you're playing Whisper Down the Lane. Remember the game Whisper Down the Lane? Somebody starts, and there's 20 people in a line. Somebody starts at one end. You say a word or a phrase, and by the time the phrase gets to the last person in line, it's changed materially. So let's say you start out, and the first person whispers into the next person's ear, bologna sandwich. By the time it gets to the 20th person, well, what was the original phrase? Barack Obama loves his sandwich. It gets changed slightly from person to person, and ultimately over time, it gets to be really wrong. That's old technology. Now let's play the same Whisper Down the Lane game using a form of blockchain ledger. Imagine that each time now, with a new methodology of playing, each time you whisper to the next partner in line, each person from the very beginning had to get the phrase perfectly right and verified. Perfectly right every time in order for you to take your next turn. So bologna sandwich, as the initial phrase, stays perfectly that same phrase every single time, and it gets re-verified from number 5 to 4 to 3 to 2 to 1, and number 10 to 9 to 8 to 7 to 6 to 5, all the way back to 1 every single time in order for you to take your turn. So the piece of data, that original phrase, bologna sandwich, stays exactly that no matter how many people are in the line. That's blockchain technology. See how vastly different those two ways or methodologies are? And think of now a ledger being encrypted in that way so that it never gets changed, it never gets hacked. Because if it does, the data is now tainted, and everyone knows that the data is tainted because it's all in a public record. It's all in a public network, which, oh, now, by the way, with as great as we are now with data, we can record terabytes and terabytes of information really now in an unlimited way. We weren't even able to do that 10 and 15 years ago. Today we can do that. So now other technologies evolve to be able to make this new technology practical in a way that 20 years ago with data and space, we couldn't even have done that. So now let's talk about how this technology or this blockchain technology actually can play into a currency. So this new currency called Bitcoin, it's a virtual currency. And again, using or paying by Bitcoin, think of this as a way of securely passing just unique serial numbers from person to person. A serial number just like you have on each dollar bill. If you take a dollar bill out of your wallet, a 5, a 10, a 20, a 100, it's going to have a serial number on it, which is a unique identifier. Now, a counterfeiter can copy that dollar bill, copy that same serial number, change the serial number. But there's no way when you pass it on, that next person verifies that it's counterfeit. So that's the fault in our system today. So we have numbers now on a new technology. Imagine that on each new bill or each new coin, each serial number is now verified and checked in a database to make sure that it's not counterfeit. Just imagine that simple functionality changing how secure money is moving forward. So just like most other currencies, though, the only reason that any currency is worth anything, that people have to agree upon the value. Just like we agree upon the value of the dollar today. It used to be backed by something. There used to be a gold standard, but that's long gone. So nothing really backs a dollar except the faith that we have in that dollar. Same thing with these new currencies. They're not worth anything unless the community around that currency says, yeah, I think it's worth something. So Bitcoin uses this new encryption way of thinking or this new blockchain technology. Each coin or piece of currency has a unique serial number. Each transaction is recorded on this giant Bitcoin network. So that you can't spend the same coin twice. You can't copy it. So think of it as just a currency, just like a dollar bill that, again, has a unique serial number on it. But instead of passing it from person to person, Bitcoins also have these unique serial numbers encoded on them. And then every single one of them and every transaction is recorded. And the transaction is stored, and each transaction is verified electronically in order to spend or do the next transaction, just like the Whisper Down the Lane analogy I just gave you. So the verification system is this new ledger that you can't mess with. Verification system is this new technology. It's a new and improved ledger system, keeping track of each recorded transaction. So believe it or not, as much as Bitcoin is still used on the black market, it's actually a much, much more secure way to transact business. It's still just not mainstream yet. Here's how that chain of security would work. I'm going to give you five easy steps on this. Okay, one, each coin has a unique serial number, each piece of money. Number two, each time a user uses a piece of this currency, they have to sign for the transaction. So now you also, each user has their own security code, if you will, like a fingerprint. So in order to spend money, you not only have to record the serial number of the piece of currency, you have to also verify it with some sort of unique fingerprint. Number three, now there's a public ledger. Think of it as a giant data hub or a giant library that stores every single transaction, a record of all transactions for that particular piece of currency, so that everyone can look at it and monitor it. So each serial number has to be and can be verified, and every time it's used again, re-verified again. Now, who looks at the public ledger, right? Is there some sort of Bitcoin king? No. Think of this as a giant verification library that everybody in the network has access to. So everyone who uses Bitcoin has a copy of this ever-evolving database or this library. So everybody can keep track of any given transaction. And the minute something goes wrong or there's a hack, it's known that that piece of currency or that serial number is tainted and nobody uses it anymore. Next, in order to protect you versus a group of, let's say, rogue Bitcoiners, meaning like, let's say half the library wants to take off with all Bitcoins and leave the weak half behind, the history and transaction ledger of all these Bitcoin transactions has to be unchangeable and unalterable, or a word you'll start to hear more and more of, immutable. The only way to do this is to use this new blockchain technology like I just talked about. It records a ledger for each bill or each coin. And because each event in history is recorded and encrypted and then chained to the rest of its history, all past transactions would have to again be hacked by solving some crazy puzzle in order to manipulate that particular bill or coin. So to see the difference between the kind of technology we use today with money versus how Bitcoin uses technology. So this is a very highly evolved ledger, and it's called blockchain. And it's, who knows, let's call it 1,000 times more secure than what we use today. And the problem, though, so the technology behind it is amazing. It's wonderful, and it's going to change multiple industries, not just currency. The problem with Bitcoin is the value. And the value that gets traded on an exchange is wildly volatile. And we're going to talk about that when Money Matters returns. You're listening to News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Ryan Ely, weekend prize pack, my friend.
The weekend prize pack is a family four-pack of tickets to the Atlanta Gladiators opening weekend, October 20th and 21st at Infinite Energy Arena. This week's prize pack goes to caller number 5.
404-741-0750. We go to the phones here. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Peter from Dallas. What's going on, man?
Hey, you know, not much, man. I appreciate you taking my call. I had a question about how mining for Bitcoin comes into play. I get lost every time a millennial starts talking about Bitcoin, and then it comes to mining for pieces.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be so secure, and then all of a sudden...
Well, okay, so let me answer that. When you're mining, first of all, there's a finite amount of Bitcoin that's already out there. Supposedly they're not creating any more of it. It's out there like gold in a mine, and somebody's got to go get it. The way you mine for it, it sounds crazy, but you have to solve. It's effectively, if you can solve these complex algorithms and problems on the web, you can effectively earn new Bitcoin. And it's the way the system is set up, it's a again, this public system, and it's algorithmically based that if there are lots and lots of people going to try to mine new Bitcoin or get, not new, but effectively garner what the Bitcoin that's out there, the algorithms get really, really hard, really, really difficult. So these aren't just simple math problems. These make the math problems in Goodwill Hunting that were an entire whiteboard, it would make that look easy. That's how complex these things get. So the more people that are trying to get Bitcoin, the harder the problems get, so that there's not a flood of this new Bitcoin getting garnered. That's part, and by the way, Peter, I think it's an important question. The crazy thing about this, and this goes back to just the how money works, is that someone just created this out of nowhere. And the only reason there's value in it is that people place value in it. So people literally just place their trust in pretty much any currency. And now this has evolved over time to do so. So that's the bottom line. What's revolutionary here is the blockchain technology. Bitcoin may actually have a fighting chance of long-term survival, but the price volatility could easily kill it. When the price craters, I'm very suspect of how the community